And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Buenos dias, senor. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong program, right? Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I'm just pulling your leg today. But today, welcome to Power of Prophecy. We're going to be talking about migration, global migration now. And I guess I should say buenos dias, senor y señoritas. And of course, what are the ladies there? The little bit, you know, the mothers, the wives, the Doña, maybe Doña. That's a very high fluting title. Well, that's sort of what you get when you get on the phone service now. Whoever you call, you know, they give it to you in English and in Spanish. And I suppose, I don't know, wherever you're at in the country, they probably go Ukrainian, Bosnia. I don't know. Take all your time, because, you know, this is not America anymore. It's not America anymore. And we have a terrible situation, folks, because there's obviously been a breakdown in communications, and I mean all kinds of communications, between the establishment in Washington, D.C., and you and I. Now, the average American out there, and I think I'm speaking for the average American. I'm sort of average American. You probably are too. I see the average American as a pretty good guy, pretty good gal. But you know, we're getting sick and tired of this migration movement that's happening right now. That's been happening for about 15 years because Washington, D.C., has broken their communications with us. You know, I feel like when I write or talk to a congressman or even read what they say in the newspapers, they're not even speaking English anymore. They're from a different planet. I really wonder if these people are not a wholly different species. You know, DNA is pretty consistent, and I really think we ought to require our congressmen to get their DNA taken. I think we'll find out that a lot of them come from the planet Venus or Mars or maybe some other galaxy, Clytu, or somewhere somehow. They're not Americans, that's for sure. And these same things are happening, but on a bigger scale, in England, France, Germany, Sweden, Norway, and so forth, Spain. These countries are being broken down culturally, economically. They're being smashed by immigrants from the Middle East, from South America, from Asia. And they want to take over our country, and they're taking over our country, and they're being helped. And it's all surreptitious. It's all quietly being done. Don't think there have not been conferences held in private. You know, they talk about conspiracies in cigar smoke-filled rooms, and they laugh about you. Ha, 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 you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, shut up. You're a dunderhead. Of course we're conspiracy realists. We're conspiracy scientists. We know your game, Washington, D.C. establishment, and we're sick and tired of it. We're not going to take it anymore. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the migration movement. Illegal immigrants. Illegal aliens. You know, I was invited to dinner at a friend's house. Oh, I guess it's been about a year ago. And he had a guy and a woman he wanted to meet. They were doctors. Oh, yes, they were doctors. But they were from Romania. They'd come to the United States and, you know, they're pretty well off. I mean, from Romania, a poor country, having nothing, come to the United States and being doctors, and they were doing pretty well for themselves. But the gentleman, he had been involved in the Romney campaign for president. And if Romney had been elected, he would have been in high level in the White House and all this kind of stuff. This friend said to me, well, you're conservative, Tex. I'd like to, for you to meet my conservative friends. These, you know, two doctors from Romania. So I said, okay. So Juan and I went over to their house and we were speaking, and I don't know, must have been something that was said by somebody, and I mentioned illegal aliens. Well, the guy had, as we would call it in East Texas, almost had a conniption fit. He said, well, you know, we should not call them illegal aliens. You don't want to be Attila the Hun, do you? I said, just a minute. What do you call them? Well, they're undocumented people. Undocumented people. Well, nobody understands what undocumented people means. Everybody understands what illegal aliens means. That's what we're to use. But I was nice in saying that. And he got furious. How can you possibly use such words? Oh, people are going to think you're Attila the Hun. They're going to think you're a barbarian because you use words like illegal alien, illegal immigrant. Oh, we don't use those words. Why? In the Romney administration, we would not have used those words. I said, yeah, because he was an idiot. Well, they left before dinner. Actually, they left right during dinner. They got so angry at me. They asked me what book I was working on, and I said, well, I've just finished a new book. And what is that? I said, well, it's DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. Oh, they didn't want that. How could you do a book by that title, DNA science and the Jewish bloodline? I said, well, what's wrong with that title? Well, you know, we can't be finding out stuff like that. Huh? We can't. The title had nothing to do with it. It's just DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. Oh, no, we don't want to do research into that. This is the kind of crazies that Washington, D.C. is full of. And Romney wanted to bring more. And Obama has certainly brought them in. Boy, there's a long train of them. And they're really not American. They don't understand America. They don't understand what we're thinking. They can't figure us out. And I think they are not just illegal aliens. They're space monkeys. They're crazy. It's time we get rid of these people. Now, you know, Donald Trump has had his problems lately. He's being attacked by everybody because he said we need to put a stop to the immigration of Muslims until we get this thing figured out. I mean, the Muslims are beginning to kill us. And this Muslim guy and his wife supposedly killed 14 people, wounded another 20 in San Bernardino just a week or so ago. And of course, when the liberals, the left-wing nuts, all found out that it was these two Muslims instead of a white-wing extremist, you know, militia type, they got real quiet. Well, it's probably something that happened in the workplace. Yeah, well, I'd like to know how the guy got that good job. There's millions of Americans out of work that would love to work for the county health department anywhere. They'd love to. They're out of work. How did this guy who had no personality, they said he was quiet, kept to himself, didn't have any education, came over here all the way from Pakistan or wherever, went back to the Middle East and married his wife or brought her over, then married her. How did that guy get that fat cat job? I bet you he was given preference over 25 or 50 Americans. I bet he was. I bet they had 25 or 50, maybe 100 Americans that were higher on the test scale than he was. But we had to hire him because he was an illegal. Because, well, he was legal. That's the problem. And his girlfriend, too. She came over on a tourist visa, basically, as a fiancé. I mean, you know, then he got her pregnant. Well, you know what? The people at work were so nice to him. The people where he worked there in the county health department, they actually gave him a baby shower. Am I right on that? If I'm right, I think I'm right. Gave him a baby shower. He paid him back by shooting a lot of him in the head. Now, I want you to think of what I just said. They gave him a baby shower. They were so nice to him at work. And he paid them back with a bullet to the head. Because he did it for jihad.
He did it for Allah and Muhammad.
Friends, we don't need that kind of person in America.
And we found out that Obama has admitted that over the last 6 years, he's brought in 861,000 Muslims in America. He's brought 861,000 Muslims to America. And if he's admitted 861,000, the number probably is like 5,861,000. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Now, about 3 years ago, people kept talking about all these illegals coming in over the border, and we're not, you know, they put their young kids on a train or send them on a walking jaunt. And we have hundreds of thousands of young people coming across the border.
Well, of course, we're nice people. We're good Christian people. We have to take them in, don't we?
Folks, the problem is when you take those in, then 10 more just like them will come in. Pretty soon you're taking millions in. You think you're doing good, but you're not.
So, these were illegal immigrants coming across the border, or undocumented people. Now, I was very curious about that because, you know, one day I was at a shopping mall and I got a little tired. I was sitting down just relaxing and a guy came and sit by me and he looked a little bit, you know, like he was from the Middle East or something. And we got to talking and I asked him, you know, were you, did you come to America recently? Well, I've been here 6 months, he said. He spoke pretty good English. I said, where did you come from? He said, I came from Iraq. I said, oh, and how did you come? He said, well, I have a green card. I'm a refugee. I said, oh, you're a refugee. Oh, yes, I'm a refugee. I said, how does that work? He said, well, I flew in. They flew us all in. I said, they did? He said, oh, yes, we had a charter aircraft, and they flew us all in. There are probably about 150 on my airplane. I said, you mean they paid for an airplane and brought you here? Oh, yes, 150 of us. And then he explained to me that as a refugee, he got free medical care. He got free housing. He was given a good job. He had all the clothing he and his family needed. They got a car for transportation. And they were given medical assistance. And they even got what was called a cash assistance stipend. He said, well, for 8 months, they gave us money, and then they wanted to know if I had a job, and if I had a job, then the money was reduced, will be reduced, he said. And so, but some people, he said, have been here for years, and they haven't got a job, so they just keep giving them the cash stipend. I said, well, how much is it? He said, well, mine was about $2,800 a month. I see, so about $30,000 a year. And if you don't get a job, you keep getting it. I said, how many people come over here as refugees? He said, oh, many, many millions, millions. He said, I meet Iraqi refugees everywhere. I said, oh, yeah? You mean you just go to places and meet them? Oh, yes, I have many friends here in Austin, Iraqi refugee. We all have green card. We have green card, he said. Okay, good. I did some investigation of this, folks. I wanted to know. Everybody was talking about these illegal immigrants coming across the border. And they kept saying, we have 12 million illegal immigrants. Well, they said that for so many years, my ears got stopped up. Oh, 12 million. We have 12 million illegal immigrants. Well, you know, the Center for Immigration Studies recently did a study and found out that there are 42.1 million illegal immigrants. 42 million is a big difference from 12 million, isn't it, folks? So the Obama administration lies to you and tell you, yeah, we have 12 million illegals in America. They call them undocumented. But the Center for Immigration says that we have 42 million. Now, I recall watching the Lou Dobbs television show about 12 years ago, and he had a representative from Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns was one of the largest Wall Street firms, and Bear Stearns had just done a big study of how many illegal immigrants are in America right now. They said there's 25 to 35 million illegal immigrants. Oh, that was 12 to 15 years ago.
We really don't know how many million immigrants there are, but I see them everywhere now. I see the women with their burqas on and their habib and all these, the clothing they have on and such. I see them everywhere. I see them, you know, I drive by theaters. I see them. I don't go in the theaters, but I see them go in. I see them at the food store. I see them walking down the streets of our shopping places. They're everywhere. Towns, big, small. You know, in Sacramento, California, a man named Nicholas Soltis decided to murder about six members of his family. He went on a wild rampage shooting them. Turned out that Nicholas Soltis was a visitor of sorts. He was a refugee from the country of Ukraine. Now, Nicholas Soltis was one, I understand, of about 75 to 80,000 Ukrainians in the city of Sacramento alone. Now, think about that, folks. 75 to 80,000 Ukrainians. Now, the city of Sacramento is not a big city like San Francisco or Los Angeles. Relatively small city. Sacramento. What are up to 80,000 Ukrainians doing there? They're all refugees. Who brought them over? Well, come to find out, our government brought them over. How did our government go over to the Ukraine and bring back 80,000? Well, I was told they're not 80,000. They're just in that one city. There's communities here and there's communities there. There's communities in New York, communities in Los Angeles. There's some in Tucson, Arizona. Why, there's Ukrainians living right here in Austin, Texas, in Tennessee. They're all over the United States. Huge communities, like 80,000 Ukrainians. And most of them cannot even speak English. What are all the Ukrainians doing here? Everywhere it's the same. They have been bringing these people in nonstop. Now, I'm telling you, it's a plot. It is a conspiracy. It is. I want you to understand something, my friends. There is no law preventing the United States from bringing in a 100 million per year. You say, oh, Tex, that's ridiculous. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm telling you, there's nothing to prevent it. There is a law. In 1983, they passed the Refugee Resettlement Act. It allows the President of the United States to bring into America as many refugees as the President wants. Did you hear what I just said, folks? President Obama can bring in as many refugees as he wants to. He can bring in 100,000, 500,000, a million. He can bring in 50 million this very year. It says that he will bring in all that he wants to. Did you know that according to the United Nations, the United States is bringing in over 70% of all the refugees in the world? They all come to America. Over 70% are brought into America every year. Wow. Now, here's what the Refugee Resettlement Act says. According to the law, people have to apply to come to America as a refugee. So they fill out a couple of forms. On the forms, they have to say why they want to come. They have to say, well, I'm a refugee because I'm being persecuted in my home country. Or we had a natural emergency, maybe a flood, a tornado, a cyclone that hit. I need housing. Well, lately they've expanded that. Obama said, you know what? We want to bring people over here that are hungry. So if you're hungry, you're in a country that doesn't have a lot of food, well, you can come over here also. Then there are countries where homosexuals, you know, can't get married and such. Oh, well, then homosexuals, you can be a refugee too. You can be a refugee. So all homosexuals, all you have to do is say, you know, they treat me bad here in Germany, or they treat me bad here in, you know, Czechoslovakia or wherever you're at. You know, the dictator of Zimbabwe doesn't like homosexuals. I want to come to America and live. Oh, good. Come on over. I've been looking at the American diet. Y'all eat awfully good. We don't eat that good here in Turkey. We don't eat that good in Syria. I want to go to America where I eat better. Okay, you're hungry then. Yeah, you're a hungry candidate. Okay, you can come. Well, how are you going to get me over all the way to your country? I'm from Kenya in Africa. I'm from South Africa. I'm from Mozambique. I'm from wherever country you're from. You know, there's all these countries. And by the way, I found a list. I had a hard time finding all this material, but I found out that they come from, let's say, Jordan, Thailand, Nepal, Malaysia, Rwanda, Liberia, Sudan, Somalia, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Cuba, Serbia, Montenegro, Georgia, Ukraine, Ethiopia, Colombia, Guatemala, Burundi, Iraq, Libya, Sierra Leone. And I just, you know, I ran out of ink in my pen. I quit writing. There's about 175, 200 countries in this world, depending on the date that you check. And all these immigrants are all coming to the United States, and they're calling themselves refugees. Now, remember the Tarnoff brothers that were told did the bombing in Boston? The Boston Marathon bombers? They came over, too, because their family said if they didn't come over, they may be persecuted. Now, that was very strange because their home country was a Muslim country. And they came over as Muslims. And they were afraid of being persecuted. That just shows you that Obama will bring anybody over. And so would George W. Bush, and so would Bill Clinton. Anybody can come over and claim anything. My mama don't like me, I guess. Well, oh yeah, you give me a refugee. I don't have a daddy. My daddy abandoned me. That's good. Come on over. I've only got two cars. You Americans have three or four. Little misconception there, isn't there? Come on over to America. I ain't got a home. I have to live in an apartment. I'm suffering because I'm living in a 1,200 square foot apartment here in Burundi. Oh, well, then that's terrible. Here's a ticket to go to America. And when you get to America, you go as a community, a package deal. And when you get there, we're going to have somebody meet you at the airport and greet you and bring you to your new home and give you your job and give you food and give you medical care and give you clothing and give you everything you want. What a deal. You're from Nicaragua. You've been living in a hut. Hey, you're going to have a nice condo. You're going to enjoy America. It's going to be air conditioned, heated. You're going to have a color TV. Of course you will. We're going to give you free medical care, free clothes. Why, you're going to look like all those rap stars on TV. You're going to look so good. Of course you will. Anyone can be a refugee. And they now have American recruiters. We actually have recruiters all over the world right now. And they set up a table. They set up a table in the middle of town or the marketplace. And they say, anybody wants to go to America, come sign up. And people go sign up. I'm serious, folks. They say in some towns they go in, there's a whole line. And about a year later, there's nobody left in town. They've all come to America. I am not kidding you, folks. Now, there's a woman. You probably know her. Her name is Angela. Angela. Her last name is Davis. You remember back in the 60s and 70s? Angela Davis was in the news all the time. It seemed that she was part of the black rights movement. You know, the black is beautiful and all those things. She was the gal that had all the hair. Pretty girl, pretty black girl. She had all that hair. I mean, she had so much hair you could barely see her. Angela Davis. She got in a lot of trouble because she bought a lot of guns for all her crony friends and they used them to kill people. Well, she was tried. She was acquitted of murder. She was part of the Black Panthers group. And you know, after she was acquitted of murder because she was and by the way, she was also one of the officials of the Communist Party USA, and that qualified her to teach. She taught for years at the University of California at Berkeley. Then she went down to the University of California at Santa Cruz. Now, Santa Cruz is a very ritzy place. Angela Davis must have fit in real well there. Now, why don't I tell you about Angela Davis? Because she's back. She's back. I suppose she's about 70 years old now, but she's back and she's got her couple of organizations she's running. One of them is called Critical Resistance. Now, Critical Resistance is given money by these rich Jews. critical resistance. And by the way, all of these immigration groups are all run by Jews. They found all of these groups. I'm telling you the truth. The Jews run immigration. The migrant movement is run by the Jews. And I'll tell you more about that later. But back to Angela Davis. She's part of the Occupy movement. You know, the Occupy movement where these left wingers go into a city, put up tents and all that stuff, go down and they raise Cain for a while. And they claim there's 1% of the America that's rich and you know, they want to redistribute the wealth and such. Well, Angela Davis has two new games now. And they're very interesting. She said, and remember now, she's been given millions of dollars to support what she's doing. I believe she's been given money by the federal government. I believe she's been giving all kind of grant money by these Jewish organizations. And I believe she's getting money from the federal government. But I haven't really investigated her that much, but I do know this much. She says refugee resettlement is the movement of the 21st century. And she says she's still a communist. But communism has metamorphosed. Now, let me explain that to you. Communism today has metamorphosed. She says communism was in the women's rights movement, feminism. Communism was in the black rights movement and still is. But now she's putting all of her chestnuts in one big box. It's called refugees. Now, recently she was over in Germany talking with some black groups over there, telling them how they could better get, you know, money from the government and all those things for the refugee movement. She's trying to inspire, if you want to, all the rabble-rousing refugees from around the world. And she says there's no such thing as a country. Did you get that, folks? There are no borders anymore. Refugees can go anywhere they want to. She's putting up Critical Resistance. That's the name of her group. There's no nationalism in America. There's no constitution. All the world belongs to all the people equally. And she's a communist and she's going to make sure of it. She's one of the refugee leaders. She says this is the movement of the 21st century. Wow. Folks, we're in it up to our heads. This is communism. This is the Communist Party USA. This is the World Solidarity Movement, the Communist Movement. And the Jews are running the whole thing. But they're using these front groups like Angela Davis's to do their dirty work. The Black Panthers are back, but they've metamorphosis now. And by the way, they're into Black Lives Matters. And Angela Davis, another one of her little bitty jobs is empty the prisons of America. And guess who's behind that? The Jews. The Jews. The Koch brothers, K-O-C-H. They're Republicans, you know. They're neocons. They're Republicans. They say we should let out, well, hundreds of thousands out of our prisons. Well, they got too stiff a punishment. Let's let them all out. Empty the prisons. Wow. Bring on the refugees. And while you're bringing in millions of refugees, let all the prisoners out. Aren't we going to have a fine country? What a mess we're in for. I'm Tex Mars. We're going to see a lot more about this. When we return, I'll give you some other astounding facts, including the two Afghanis from an Air Force base in Georgia. What were Afghanis doing in the Air Force in the first place? Well, they're missing now. They're missing. I wonder if they're fixed to do some terrorist act. I don't know. But they're missing from Georgia, the two Afghans that were taken into the Air Force as refugees. Oh, boy. I'll be right back after this brief message. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I hope you have my new book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. You know, a lot of people said, well, who are you going to cover in this book?
Who are the pastors? Who are the churches? Well, I thought I'd just start at the top with the Pope. In fact, I think I cover three popes in this book. You know, so you can see sort of a progression. Three popes. Then I go off to Rick Warren. Why, he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, didn't he? He's called America's pastor. Then, of course, there's Joel Osteen, Smiley Boy from Houston. And I go on from there, and I cover all of them, and then I go to small churches, too. I may have gone to your neighborhood church. I may have some interesting information in there. I went to the Naked Church in Virginia, where the pastor and everybody there is naked, because they say that shows equality. And, of course, Jesus wanted equality, didn't he? Then I go to the church where the Lutheran pastor gives everybody out condoms during the church service, because she says, you know, Jesus gave his body in communion, and y'all going to give your bodies, and I want y'all to have these condoms. Well, that's very nice of her. She says some people go up and get gobs of them. She puts them out in big baskets in the front of the church when people go in. And she says they take out the condoms and put them in their pockets and purses. Very popular, these condoms at church time. I mean, then there's the hookers for Jesus, the crackheads for Jesus, the pole dancers for Jesus. Now, the pole dancers, you know, well, I won't tell you any more about them, but the book does. You may want to go to a new church they've got in London, England. Tony Blair, the former prime minister and George W.'s friend, he goes there. It's called Pig Alley Church. Pig Alley. It's painted pink. And when you go to the door, you're met by four big burly transvestites. Strangely, they're wearing nuns' habits. Nuns' habits. Boy, you go in there to that pink church in Pig Alley, and you're invited in by these big husky guys dressed like, you know, nuns and acting like women. And you'll meet the good priest in there. And, of course, he may not be there now. He may be in prison because he was just found guilty of selling knights of the order. You know, you get a certificate. Says you're a knight. You're a knight in some order. But you had to pay $25,000 to $50,000 to become a knight of the order. But, hey, Father so-and-so gave it. He's a big Catholic priest. And Tony Blair's friend. So, you know, a lot of people paid it. They really thought they were becoming, you know, like Lord so-and-so or Duchess so-and-so. Well, now they're sort of dismayed because they found out they're not a knight of the order. These things are real, folks. They're at every church in America, practically. I got a letter yesterday. A gentleman told me that he got all fired up for God, and there was a church in his community that was really pushing the teachings of Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar. You know, this, you know, give money to God and God will get you rich. Because God wants everybody to be rich. That's the Word of Faith prosperity movement. He really got involved in that and was all fired up. And then he even went to church. He went to work for the church as a youth director. Then he found out the truth about the church. Well, the pastor, as he found out, was popping pills and doing other terrible things. Of course he was. Because those false teachings lead you right into sin and horrible things. Pastors and churches gone wild. They've gone berserk, friends. You know, somebody said to me, Tex, why are you letting the world know what's going on inside the church? Because I want the world to know not everybody does these things, friends. There is the minority. Only a few of us are left. If you're doing them, stop it. Ask Jesus to forgive you. But listen, life is a lot better when you follow Jesus. Life is better, and eternal life is really much, much better. I couldn't live with myself if I were doing these terrible things and preaching to you here on the radio. I couldn't. But these people have no consciences. You'll find out about Billy Graham. He went to Red China. And while he was there, he said, well, you know, I've read the sayings of Mao Tse-tung. in your little red book, the red book, the sayings of Mao. And that's just what Jesus teaches. Mao Zedong is why he could have been a follower of Jesus. The only problem is that Billy Graham, didn't you know that Mao Zedong killed at least 50 million people? He massacred them across his country. He was a communist tyrant. He would see young girls, 14, 15, on the street, and he would tell his soldiers, I want that girl, bring her to my room, and he would rape her. He did hundreds of girls like that. Do you think that's like Jesus? That's sickening. Well, this book is full of things like that. Of course, Rick Warren, I talk about the day that he went and spoke to a big meeting of 4,000 rabbis. They invited him to come and speak. A Christian pastor. He came and he spoke to 4,000 rabbis. What did he say? Smile and be friendly. That was his message. They loved it, of course. They heard from their first pastor, their first Christian pastor. And what did he tell them? Smile and be friendly. Well, that's nice. Then there's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was invited to an interfaith group too. There were Jewish rabbis and Muslim imams and Hindu gurus. And what did he tell them? Well, he quoted Mahatma Gandhi. He said, you are the change you seek. Huh? Yeah, that's what he told them. You are the change you seek. Wow. He could have told them about Jesus, the change that Jesus makes in life. When he creates an entire new person out of a man or a woman. But instead it was Mahatma Gandhi said, you're the change you seek. He quoted Mahatma Gandhi. But that's what's in his heart. That's what's in his mind. He's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. Oh my goodness. Pastors and churches gone wild. They've gone wild. The church is totally gone. But listen to me, friends. You can get the Bible. You and your wife can study together. You and a friend. Are you alone? God will honor you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Did you know that it says in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things? You don't need any man to even teach you. The Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. And what is the Holy Spirit's number one job? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to send my comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will speak of me. Wow. He speaks about Jesus. That's it. I want you to have this book. It's $22. Please add $5 shipping and handling. It's a big book, and it's got about, 20, 30, 40 color pictures in it. So you can see how much of a mess these people are. But when I tell you some of them are, wait till you see their tattoos. And they call themselves pastors and evangelists. Pastors and churches gone wild. $22 at $5 shipping and handling. Order it from Power Prophecy 1708. Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. You'll see the picture of the book in the advertisement right there. Use your charge card or your PayPal and order it. Let's see, how else can they get it? Oh, yes, they phone us. That's right. We have some very friendly folks here, and they'll be glad to take your order. And we'll, of course, give you a free subscription to our Power of Prophecy newsletter. If you're not receiving it, if you are receiving it, well, we'll just extend your subscription. How about that? Free of charge. Call us toll free 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our program. We're talking about, well, the global migration now movement. About not only immigration, not only illegal immigration, but the refugees. Now, you know, folks, I used to read newspaper articles about refugees, and I guess, you know, it sort of tapped into my heart. I felt sorry for these people from all over the world that would come to America. And, you know, you see the Statue of Liberty and, you know, bring forth your masses and I'll, you know, do such and such. And, you know, you feel sorry for the refugees. And then Obama started bringing in the Muslims and more Muslims. And now, you know, that's the ones that are coming to America, the Muslims. They go to Africa and sign up refugees, but they're signing up the Muslims. They go to Syria, they go to Iraq, they go to Libya, but they sign up the Muslims. And that's who's coming. Now we have a mosque in almost every town, every city. When I was a young boy, we had no mosque. I don't even know if we had a mosque anywhere in America. Maybe we did in a big city, but now they're everywhere. Did you know the number one name in Great Britain is not Michael, it's not David, it's not Jason, it's not Johnny, it's Mohammed. And I want to say that again. The top name, the top baby name picked in Britain is Mohammed. Sure, because they've got millions of refugees that are now living there. And we're constantly having terrorist events. I was recently reading about a black man from Africa, a Muslim, of course, that got out his machete and just went downtown and saw a guy stand on the street corner and just decided to cut his head off. He did it for Allah. Allah and Muhammad wanted me to cut your head off. That was in Great Britain. We're going to start having those in America too. In fact, they happened at one company. And of course, Obama basically says no Christians allowed. You know, about every 500 Muslims, they allow one Christian in so they can say, see, we're not discriminating against Christians. Ha, ha, ha. Now, I understand that congressmen don't know anything about this. You see, they don't have to prove a law anymore. The last law was approved in 1983. It says the president can bring as many people in as he wants, and he does. He sends a one-page report to the Congress every year. Said this last year we brought in X number of refugees. Bye. That's what he says. That's all he says. There's no big report. There's no approval. There's nothing. Now, who benefits from all these refugees? These foreigners coming in. Well, of course, the left wing does. Because given all these freebies, what are they told? That the Democrat Party's given to them. You know, and if you vote Republican, if you vote conservative, you won't get your free food anymore. You won't get your free employment. You won't get your free medical, your free clothing, your free utilities, your free cash assistance every month. Yeah, vote Democrat. And they do. Of course they do. And now there's millions more Democrats voting. And you know what? They don't even have to show their ID. They don't even have to show their green card. Because these stupid left-wing judges everywhere are saying, why, that would violate their rights. You can't make people show their ID card. Why, that's terrible. Huh? Folks, to drive a car, you got to show your driver's license. To cash a check, you got to show your driver's license. But you don't have to show your driver's license to vote. You just go down there and say, I'm Jack Smith, or I'm Mohammed. I want to vote. Where do you live, Mohammed? Well, I live with 28 friends in an apartment. You're going to let me vote, aren't you? If you don't, I'm going to sue you. Of course you can vote, Mohammed. But didn't I see you this morning? In fact, isn't this your fifth trip to the voting polls? Yes, I vote early and I vote often, says Mohammed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, recently, I was reading an article. The Philadelphia, Pennsylvania school district this year registered 800 students speaking 40 different languages from 70 different countries. Now, folks, I want you to think about that. They had 1,000 students, but 800 of them were foreign students. 800 students spoke 40 languages from 70 different countries. Now, do you know how much money this cost? Because if you don't give them a tutor that speaks their language to help them, if you don't give them a teacher to help them, they'll declare that you're discriminating against them. Why? I come from Malaysia and you don't help me. I come from Somalia and you're not helping me in school. Boy. I was recently reading an interesting article. It seems that the mayor of Kansas City, his name is believe it or not, Sly James. Sly James. Now, Mr. James, the mayor of Kansas City, went and spoke to the La Raza Mexican group. Now, La Raza means the race. They promoting the Mexican race. You can't have these if you're white. If you have them when you're white, well, you're a supremacist. You're a bigot. You're a racist. But if you have them when you're a Mexican or black or some other thing, that's okay. At La Raza, Sly James spoke there. And he told the Mexican group, he said, that he was very proud to announce that the city was no longer white. Oh, boy. He said in 2010, we were 52% white. 5 years later, in 2015, we're only 40% white. We're now a brown city. And, of course, they all clapped wildly for him. He said, our students in our schools speak 62 different languages. 62 different languages. I didn't even know they had that many languages in the world. Well, Tina Grigo, a journalist for the Denver Rocky Mountain News, wrote a column entitled Mexican Visitors Lament. And she said she had interviewed a Mexican journalist, Evangelina Hernandez, while visiting Denver. And Hernandez said, quote, illegal aliens pay rent, buy groceries, buy clothes. What would happen to your economy in this country if 20 million people go away? She claimed there are 20 million. Of course, the government says there's 12 million. The Center for Immigration Studies says 42 million. And there's probably 80 million here. But what would happen if we Mexicans left? Ha, 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 she says. What happens to your country's economy if 20 million people go away? Thought Miss Grigo. I wonder what would happen. Now listen to what she says here. So, writes Miss Grigo, I did my due diligence. I buried my nose as a reporter into the facts I found below. It's a good question. It deserves an honest answer. Over 80% of Americans now demand we secure our borders and that illegal immigration be stopped. But our leaders say they're all wrong. Did you get that, folks? 80% of Americans want America's borders secured. They want illegal immigration stopped. But Obama said, you citizens are fools. And the Speaker of the House, who's a Republican, says, well, y'all are all a bunch of idiots. And Mr. McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who's also a Republican, says, you're a bunch of dummies. We need more immigration. More, more, more. Give us more. Whether it's illegal immigrants or legal immigrants, or they come over here for a visit and stay, or they get their green card by being a refugee. Well, says Ms. Grigo, I wanted to know what would happen if 20 million or more vacated America. The answers I found may surprise you. Now listen, here's what she found. In California, if 3.5 million illegal aliens move back to Mexico, that would leave an extra $10 billion to spend on overloaded school systems, bankrupt hospitals, and overrun prisons. You get that, folks? If the 3.5 million illegals left California, it would give the California government, that seems to be on its last rubbery legs, over $10 billion more. There would not be any overloaded school systems, you know, like these school systems in Kansas City, where they speak 62 different languages, or the one in Philadelphia where they speak 40 different languages. We wouldn't need those, would we? There'd be no overloaded schools, no bankrupt hospitals, no overrun prisons. Ms. Grigo continues, quote, it would leave highways cleaner, safer, less congested. Hey, they wouldn't have those big Mexican trucks running back and forth, smashing into vehicles, killing people on our interstates, would it? No. Everyone could understand one another as English became the dominant language again. Wow. That would mean 12,000 gang members would vanish out of Denver alone. Think about that. If you'd sent all the Mexicans home, there wouldn't be 12,000 gang members in Denver.
Colorado would save more than $20 million in prison costs. It would also save the terror that these 7,300 alien criminals in prison now set upon local citizens. There would be a huge reduction in deaths, accidents, rapes, and other crimes by illegals. Denver public schools would not suffer a 67% dropout or flunk rate. You see, the Denver schools have to speak 41 different languages to keep up with all the kids, or at least try to. 200,000 vehicles, a lot of them that are not even registered, would vanish from our gridlock cities. The unemployment rate in Denver would vanish as the working poor would gain jobs. And the wages would go up. The working person would get a lot more for their time. Wow. In Florida, 1.5 million illegals would return the Sunshine State back to America. In Chicago, 2 million illegals would free up hospitals, schools, prisons, and highways. Wow. The U.S. economy would return to the rule of law. Employers would hire legal American citizens at a living wage. Everyone would be glad to pay their fair share of taxes. They wouldn't be working off the books anymore. That would mean an additional $400 billion in IRS income taxes collected annually. $400 billion because many of the Mexicans work off the books. You wouldn't have to push one for English or two for Spanish on your phone anymore. You could actually understand the person you're talking to on the phone. Boy. Wow. She goes on and on. On and on. What a wonderful place this would be. Send the illegals back. As far as the mosque goes, why do we need the two Boston bombers? Why do we need the two Boston bombers? We didn't need them. And we didn't need this couple. You know, Farouk. Mr. Farouk and his wife. We didn't need them. And the job could, the county health department could go to another person from America. Now, I don't care if you're black or you're white or you're Chinese. I don't care what you are. If you're an American citizen, you were born here, good for you. I remember what happened in New Orleans. Remember the big hurricane that hit Rita and so forth? The whole city basically was flooded. And after the waters receded, they cried out for jobs. Please, you workers, come in here and help us. And tens of thousands of American workers went to New Orleans and got good jobs. Many people were out of work. They went there, carpenters, plumbers, roofers, street layers. I mean, New Orleans was crawling with Americans. And then one day, those Americans were called in and told, we don't need you anymore. We've got Jose. He just got here on a bus. From Mexico. You were working for $15, $20, $25 an hour. He'll work for $8 an hour. Bye-bye. And all the Americans were let go. I remember a number of my Anglo friends were let go, and they come back to Austin here. Think about that. Think about that. Now, let me tell you what happened. The George W. Bush administration got buses, and they went down, and they signed up people to come as refugees. And they brought busloads from Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador. They brought them and they bussed them into New Orleans and they gave them all jobs there. They're still living there today. I have letters from people that live up in Minnesota. They said about 30 or 40 miles out of town, there's a huge city that's sprung up. All these new condos. They found out that they're all living there. They're all black Somalians. They're all refugees. Thousands of them. 15 or 20,000, I believe. Some say 40. I don't know about that. Why are they bringing all these people in? First of all, friends, think about it. They don't want you to have your Second Amendment rights. These people, they're not used to Second Amendment rights. They just want a job. They want to live good. They want to come to America. They don't care about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. They just want our money. That's it. They don't want to assimilate. They don't want to become Americans. They just want our money. And some of them want to come over here and commit terrorist acts. Think about this man, Farouk. Think about him and his so-called wife. How they were brought in, how they were welcomed to America. How they were given a baby shower. And they turn around and kill their own workers. Murder them. They do it for Allah. I told you I'd tell you about the two Afghan military trainees. They're from Georgia. Seemed that the Afghanis are being invited into our uniforms, our military uniforms. They've got Iraqis and Syrians and Egyptians, and now these Afghans were in our uniform. They were assigned to Moody Air Force Base, Georgia, to learn about maintaining aircraft. Can you imagine? They brought these Afghanis, and they were training them, spending tens of thousands of dollars training them to be maintenance men, aircraft mechanics. Well, they're missing now. They gave up their training. They left the base. Maybe they're somewhere now. Where are they at? Nobody knows. It wasn't the first time that we trained Afghanis and Iraqis and they just suddenly disappeared after training. These are missing right now. Donald Trump is absolutely right. We should stop all immigration. We should allow no Muslims into this country. And it should be permanent. Did you hear what I just said? It should be permanent. I know we're going to have to change the Constitution, but we should do it. We should say we don't want any Muslims in America. We don't want any Buddhists in America. We don't want any Jews in America. Because of the Jewish Talmud, a hateful document. The best of the Gentiles kill. That's a paragraph in the Talmud. The best of the Gentiles kill. That's in the Talmud. Why, that's no better than the Quran that tells him to kill us for jihad, to rape our women, to kill their young daughters who try to assimilate and become just like the other girls. Yes, there are many honor killings even happening on American soil. Folks, it's time for some tough medicine. We don't want to hurt anybody. No. Christians don't do that. But we need to say no more coming in. We've got enough to handle right now. And if you're not a citizen, we'd like you to go home. We'll pay your way. We paid your way here as a refugee. We'll pay your way back. And don't come back another time. Don't come back again and again and again. And these sanctuary cities, they are out. Donald Trump is right. It's time Americans started looking at what we need to do. We need to take care of ourselves. Who's going to stand up for America? Who's going to say no more Muslims in this country? We've got to do it, friends. We've got to. Or we're going to see more murders, more terrorist acts. Why should we invite these people in and then sit idly by as they murder? And by the way, if you haven't got a gun, get one. Get one. Train yourself. Be ready. These people are going to come for us, and I want you to be ready. I don't want you to be hostile. I don't want you to give these people any pain. I think we have a government. It should be a government of laws, but we need to make the laws. We need to do it now, quickly, while there's still time. Before so many have come that they own America, they have dispossessed us. And we become their slaves. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.